Hebrews 11. I wanted to look at the, I called it fear or reverence. And really I was thinking of the fear of man and or reverence for God. And I was thinking about a lot of different topics related to this and trying to put it together all in one thing, but it's always difficult. But I think many times we believers, judge the solution to a problem that we might be facing or things that we might be confronting us according to our ability to solve those problems. And every time we do that, it can cause fear in our lives because our ability to solve most problems is pretty low. You know, it's all a matter of experience, right? We use our own experience. And, you know, we can't really judge the ability to handle life situations by our ability, the things that we know how to do, and as Dale, you were saying about the experiences we've had and all the things, the information we hear around us, right? We can't judge our ability to handle situations by that. When we do that, it leads to fear. And we all know fear is a very, very terrible thing. Fear is not God's intention for our lives. You know, how many times do you hear the angels' first words out of their mouths? What are they?
Fear not.
Or when, you know, and you can, I'm sure you can think of many, many records where, you know, Jesus Christ spoke to the man, don't be afraid, or someone, don't be afraid, guys, don't be afraid. Because fear really hurts us. You know, there are a lot of fears in the world. I think we all know that. Some people are afraid of death, right? People are fear of dying. Some people are fear of sickness and loneliness or whatever, poverty, you name it, or destruction or whatever it is. People are afraid of things. And it's not God's intention that we live that way. You know, fear, because of that, is a very debilitating emotion. It really stops you from believing. And we know that. You know, fear is the enemy of believing. Fear, doubt, worry, and fear are the enemies of believing. So what I want to look at today was just, you know, a few records and to think about, you know, when there is the issue, there is the temptation to be afraid or you're facing a situation, you know, you have a couple options. One is to, you know, embrace that fear, which is not a good one. and the other one is to reverence God in those situations. So to recognize that it's not your ability to get out of the situation or the thing you're facing, but it's His ability. And that is, you know, a huge comfort from being afraid to looking at a God who just hundreds, thousands of years, is all He's done is backed up His word and taken care of His people and made sure His promises come to pass. And that will go a long way in eliminating fear out of our lives in those situations. And Hebrews chapter 11 is the first verse that I wanted to read. I should get to it myself now. I'm there. Hebrews 11. Very foundational verse. I'm sure we all know it, but if we don't, we can read it. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That's the part that I want to concentrate on. Must believe that He is. And then the rest of it just follows. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. A lot of people don't believe that He is. You know, I heard some things this week about, you know, someone being thankful for prayers of this religion and not someone being thankful for prayers of that religion and just being thankful that there's prayer in the world, you know, and there's, what kind of nonsense is that? What happens if you're praying and there's nothing behind, there's no one to pray to, you're praying into the air, right? See, even we as believers, we can't separate the Word of God from God. We have promises here. these are not just, you know, tenets written down that you put on a wall and look at them. Oh, isn't that cool? Isn't that a nice way to think? There is a God that stands behind this written word. Hebrews says, must believe that He is. God is behind this word. You know, we're talking about the promises, you know, being patient. Well, why can we know they're going to come to pass? Because God is behind His word. And when we say we love God's word and it's the word, the word, the word, we really are saying it's God, right? We don't separate the two because in the beginning was the word. The word was God. God is the word. It's His word. And He backs it up. So He's, you know, He's, we can't separate the one from the other. In Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. You guys know this verse too? So, the, you know, the temptation in those tough situations and that might cause fear in our lives and whatever they are. In 29:25, we read, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." No, how many? I think we all know that, right? Have you ever been in a situation where you're thinking about, where you're not thinking about something, and all of a sudden you have a temptation to think a fearful thought? Do you not find your body kind of, there's a real impact on your body, physically, everything. And oh, what did you do? You changed your mind. That's all you did. You know, maybe you're thinking about, I don't know, I don't even give an example because there's enough examples we have all in our mind. I don't want to give another example for fear. But whatever you're thinking about, all of a sudden, you freeze, you lock up a little bit, and then you actively drive your mind to something you know in God's word to. Yeah, exactly. Or you say something like that. You drive your mind to something and to get your mind. But all you really did was change your mind. All you did was think of something. There wasn't a gorilla at the door with a big harpoon going to throw it through you. You were just thinking about something. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you're frozen. You know, the fear of man brings a snare. I can think of one case where fear was... No, actually, I can't think of any case where fear was useful. Fear is never useful. Fear is never good. It's not something God wants for you. Not something God wants for us. It brings a snare. It locks you up. And but the rest of the verse, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. There's your choice. You have a choice to fear or to reverence God. And say, God, I know you're there. I'm going to put my trust in you, and you're going to be safe. On the counterpart of what I just said about that thing you think about where you're all of a sudden afraid, can you remember the times when you thought of a verse in God's word and all of a sudden you were confident? And you felt peaceful? And you felt relaxed? What did you do? You changed your thinking. You changed your thinking to reverence Him, the God who is behind the word that we all love so much. In Psalm 56, you know, and let's go to Psalm 56 first. The thing that I want to, another thing that's interesting to think about in those situations, Psalm 56 is, it's not that you think of God and then you say, you know what, I got this now. That's not it. You're facing a situation and you say, okay, and now I got this. No, you don't got anything. Is that bad grammar? No. God's got this. Okay? And that's a big difference. You know, God has got it. Not you, not me. So when you put your mind and trust in God, don't be now as to prideful think, okay, I can do this now. No, God will do it. You will be the beneficiary of His blessings on your life, and you will be grateful because God did it for you. Not all of a sudden, I got this. Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In Psalm 118, and again, I'm sure you have all your favorite verses in this topic, but these are a few. Psalm 118. And in verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me. Just as simplistic as that. It's like, I called upon him and he ignored me. Oh, I called upon the Lord and he answered me. God delights in our prayers, it says in the Word. And set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. Mm-hmm. I will not fear what man can do unto me. See, the Lord is on our side. He's on our side. What reason is there to fear? Like we say many times, you know, whoever's against us, the list may be long, but God's on our side. It doesn't matter who's in that list. God is on our side. Whatever situation we're in, he's on our side. You know, it's 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Remember the record of David and Goliath. We're not going to read the record, but just a section of it. 1 Samuel 17, 32. You know, when the Goliath came out and, you know, yelled obscenities at the children of Israel, and they all stood there and watched him and they were afraid, and then David comes to give some bread and cheese to his brothers, and he hears this Goliath guy, and he decides that, verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So he says, I'm going to go fight Goliath. And Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. He's forgotten more about war than you'll ever know, David. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Okay. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. You know, it sounds like David, I was so powerful. You know, but let's read the next verse. He says, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. See, he didn't say, I was so powerful. He said, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. See, you see where his focus was? It wasn't on, I can do this, I'm so powerful. It wasn't even on, God's so great and I can do this. It was more like, he's going to deliver me. It's his ability, not mine. You know, because it sounds like first, you know, I killed. No, David said, he delivered me out of the mouth of the lion, right? And he's going to deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. Look where his focus was. He could have been afraid, and everybody else in Israel's army, including Saul, tallest man in Israel, was afraid, weren't they? They weren't fighting this guy. Fear put them in a snare. Fear froze them. But instead of fearing, he reverenced God. He said, God will deliver me out of this. In Psalms 23, Psalm 23, you could probably all quote this from memory. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. because I am just so powerful and courageous. No, read it. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Must believe that he is. Must believe that he is. It's not just some words you teach your children when you're young. You know, you can just say this and you'll feel. No, you teach them, for he is with you. He is with you. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. So God's rod, God's staff, and their big rod, big staff. We're not talking about, you know, cheap versions here. He is with us. In Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And in verse 22 of Psalm 73, right there. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me. Oh, I lost my place. Guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Right. Again, not, I am so great or I can do this. God is the strength of our heart, of our life. God is the strength behind everything we do. That's what, you know, so in situations to be fearful, if we're so cognizant that we go to God's word and believe that he is, and we know that he is there, and we understand who he is, you can see there's the reason for fear seems to dissipate and go by the wayside, doesn't it? If we think about the greatness and the majesty of the God who is with us, just like David did, just like these men and women did. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20. See, the tendency is, and I was thinking about some records in the Word of God, the tendency of man, and maybe that's why a lot of the Old Testament scriptures are written, I don't know, is to forget God. It's not to remember him, and not to think of him, but to forget God. Remember when Israel was told they were going to go into the promised land. What did God tell them? God said, look, you know, you guys are going to get houses you never built. You know, you're going to get vineyards you didn't plant. You know, land of milk and honey and all this wonderful stuff you're going to get. And he said to them after that, and you can read the record, and he says, just don't forget me. When you have all that stuff, all those blessings that God have given you, don't forget me. And what they do?
Yeah,
they forgot. In Isaiah, God has him right by revelation. He goes, Israel have forgotten me days without number. They couldn't count the number of days Israel had forgotten him, forgotten God. When Gideon faced that army, you know, thousands and thousands of people, God did whatever he could to make sure that when the victory was won, they knew that it was him who had won the victory, didn't he?
Yeah.
Right? You see how many things God puts in his word that just him just saying, just don't forget me. Remember all the, you know, we can do a whole research study on weeks and weeks and on the number of feasts in the Bible and the sacrifices and even the circumcision and all these things that God had, the Passover and all these things he did so that people would remember him day after day after day. You know, when your children ask you, what are you doing with this lamb? Well, you remember? Okay, we're back in Egypt with this. Or when they crossed the Jordan River, they put the, you know, they put the rocks there, and Joshua said, when your children ask you, you can tell them that God is the one who, just like he brought us back in Egypt, time and time again, to remember God. You know, and that's a real tendency, is man is to forget. You face one situation, God blesses you, you face another one, you forget. You know, the manna, remember the manna? Every day, right? For 40 years. Where the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. He was always there. And, you know, you would think with a pillar of fire and cloud by day and manna that they would not forget him. Yet in the midst of all these blessings that Israel had every single day for 40 years, by the way, it says the manna didn't cease until the day they crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land. Then it ceased. It was there. And yet they still murmured. They still forgot. They still argued again. They still lost. Tens of thousands of people died because they turned away from him, and his blessings were there every day, every single day. Right? In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Israel, of children of Moab, and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side Syria, and behold, they be in Hetzion Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. You know, fear itself is going to come. We know that. That's just the way life is. Someone says something to you, you hear something, your tendency might, and yeah, that's what happened to him. But look, he did. He feared and set himself to seek the Lord. There, you had a choice. You either embrace the fear or you reverence God. In this case, he chose to seek God and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Why? So he could help him seek God and all the other people seek God. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. I can't imagine it'd be like saying, you know, all Ottawa got together and Montreal and Toronto, and they all stood up to seek the Lord because something was happening to Canada. Can you even imagine that happening today? Here you are. All these people got together. Prime Minister Trudeau proclaims a fast for all of Canada. No, that's not going to happen. Verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, and art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and I cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Mm-hmm. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of thine land of Egypt, but they turn from them and destroy them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. And O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. You know, it's, again, a good place for us to be when we see problems that we're facing. I'm so powerful, I can do this. No, he said, look, we can't, I love this, we can't handle this, neither know we what to do. Mm. But our eyes are upon thee. What a wonderful verse, you know, that when you think about fear, or David, Lord, he took care of the bear and the lion, I'm sure he can handle this Philistine. He must, he that comes to the word of, you know, to God must believe that he is. Here they got Judah and all the people got together and stood with their little ones and their wives and children, and they just said to God, God, we don't know what to do, but you know what? Our eyes are upon you. And you can read the rest of the records plan. Joshua chapter 1. A couple of more verses here. Joshua chapter 1. Again, one of my favorite sections in the Word of God. One of my favorite sections today. Joshua 1:1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Sounds like the manifestations. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. See, strength and courage are good things. But based on God being with him. Based on God being behind his word. False courage and false strength are foolishness. You know. But when God is on your side, strength and courage are wonderful traits to have. You can be strong. You can be courageous. Why? Because God is on your side. That's the key. God is behind his word. He is. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Why not? Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. That's the reason he didn't have to be afraid. Is God with us?
Yes.
Do we have any reason to ever be afraid of anything? No. He had his son die for us. He paid the ultimate price to make us his children. We'll close in Romans chapter 8. And again, it wasn't because Joshua was so great. It's because God is so great. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31. Of course, I'm in the book of Acts, which is also a great book for another time. 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, then is he for us? Didn't we read that? Wasn't he with his people? He said, God is for us. It says Psalms, God is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Right. Can Can anybody be against us? Yeah, lots of people can be against us. It says we live in a world that, you know, if you're living godly, you're going to suffer persecution. But does it matter who's against us? No. If God is for us, the rest doesn't matter. He that spared not his own son paid that price, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he set not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifieth? Of course not. Who is he that condemneth? Christ that died? Yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? You know, God had him die for us, and Christ died for us, now makes intercession for us. Why would they ever be against us? It's making sense. They would never. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, and again, this list here, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know, when you're tempted to fear, these are the categories of life. Are they not? Something in here. So God lays them all. You know, are these things going to separate us? Verse 36. As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep. Are we accounted as sheep for the slaughter? No. Verse 37. No, nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors, period. We are more than conquerors, period. No. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. David said, the bear, lion, God delivered me from those things. Jehoshaphat said, I don't know what to do. My eyes are upon you. Same thing here. We are more than conquerors through him. Not that we're so great or we're so powerful, but God is so great, and all that has been done in Jesus Christ on our behalf is so amazing that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Just like what says in Philippians, I can do all things, period. No. I can do all things through Christ strengthened me, right? Through that, then you can, you know, you're able to face any situation without fear. For I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death, which is about as bad as it gets, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, or literally, nor any other thing in creation, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? You know, so knowing this, and knowing that God is on our side, and all this that God has done for us in Christ, in those situations we face, why would we ever want to embrace the fear and let it freeze us and put us in a snare? Why not reverence God and recognize that he is behind his word? You know, and I wrote down a few things that I was just thinking of. I call it the blessings of God, but I don't know, just a bunch of things that I read in God's word that really blessed me. It is God in whom we move and have our being. It is God that giveth thee power to get wealth. He watereth the hills from his chambers. He caused the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh the heart of man glad, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. God is the protection of our lives, for except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is he who has weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance. All nations before him are as nothing. It is he who stretches out the heavens as a curtain. It is he who giveth power to the faint. It is God who hastens his word to perform it. It is God who sends rain on the just and on the unjust. It is the living God that gives us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. It is God who giveth to all life and breath and all things. It is God who made the world and all things therein, and he is Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. It is he who authored the plan of salvation and gave assurance by that man whom he raised from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that man would never have cause to fear or doubt ever again. Why would we ever forget our God? Why would we ever think that we can truly eliminate fear from our lives by our own strength? For surely the reverence of God is the beginning of all knowledge. We must surely believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So there you go.
Amen.